to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. I can't tell you what an honor it is to be here tonight. I want to say, lest I forget, that I appreciate my folks coming up. It means a lot to me, and I just thank God for that. And if you hear a rattling noise, that's probably my knees knocking together. I have two of my heroes here tonight that I'm preaching to, at least, that I've seen so far, and that is, of course, your pastor and Brother Milton Taylor. And it is difficult to me to preach to men that I esteem so highly. And so that makes me nervous. And then I was raised on a farm in Western North Carolina, and I never thought I would be preaching, let alone preaching at the First Baptist Church. That adds a lot of pressure too, you know. Because I'm country as cornbread. We made molasses and our own apple cider on the farm. I can tell you how to do that. And my English is not always as proper as it ought to be. But I feel among friends tonight. And I feel like God has given me some thoughts to share with you. And I'm very thankful for some leadership on the message tonight. Would you join with me in prayer and ask the Lord to help me, and may God speak to not only my heart, but to yours tonight. If you hear from me, we've wasted some time. But I want you to hear from the Lord tonight. May He speak to our hearts in a special way. We need revival. Our land needs revival. And I am convinced tonight that God has given us a measure of mercy and grace today. And our hearts should be full of thankfulness for what He has done for us. But I am convinced that God is able and willing and wanting to do more. I'm convinced of that. And I still believe 2 Chronicles 7:14, when it comes to revival, I believe revival depends on you and I, on God's people. And I think we should be praying just as much tonight, if not more, than we were on Monday night. Praying that God would touch our leaders. And God's been dealing with me even today about my lack of prayer. God, help us. We need to pray for our leaders as God commanded us to. But I believe God's able, don't you? I believe God is able. And if I didn't tonight, I wouldn't even come this way to try to help you in a revival effort. Or you know, I just believe God's able to revive us. I believe He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And I am convinced of that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll try to bring the message tonight. Father, I bow before You once again today. I thank You, Lord, for the mercy that You've shown us. I thank You, Lord, for the good singing tonight already and for Your presence in our midst. I pray, Lord, not only would You make it easy on me preaching, but Lord, not only would You give me liberty, but would You give me power. Lord, for Your glory and Your honor, would You speak to every heart in this building? Will Your Spirit, Lord, take Your word and touch the need of every heart? You can fit and form the message, Lord. You can apply it, Lord, to every need in this building. If there's one lost, I pray You'd save them. If there's one that's afraid, I pray You'd comfort them. Lord, whatever the needs are, please help us to look to You tonight. And Lord, for what You do, we'll thank You for it and we'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 49, I want to begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted." But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And I'm going to stop reading there. Now, I believe this text is a reference to the Lord bringing the children of Israel out of captivity, but I think that there is an Old Testament shadow here of Christ's eternal redemption of men from the captivity of sin. And I believe the interpretation of this passage concerns Israel, but I think there is an application for us who are God's people through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 13, we see the singing and the command to be joyful and break forth into singing. And certainly our God is worthy to be praised. He's the God of comfort and He is the God of mercy. And when we are afflicted, though, we sometimes, it seems, do not sense His mercy. But God is merciful even in our afflictions. And that's what verse 13 teaches us. But as we move down in this passage, we look down to verse number 15, and I would like to begin tonight by letting us examine God's faithfulness. He says in verse 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" And he said, "Yea, they may forget." It is not likely, I would say, that a woman that is nursing a child would forget that child. But according to this passage, it is possible. They may do it, he said. But in saying that, though, he says it is, in essence, impossible for God to forget His people. And I'll say that God is faithful. And then verse 16, he says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Now, how can he forget them when they are graven upon the palms of his hands? Can I say a few things about that? And I'm going to try to get somewhere if you'll bear with me just a few minutes. First of all, he is telling us in this passage that it is a done deal. He is saying that I have graven thee, and it is not something that they had to hope for, and it is not something that they could long for, but they could rest in the fact that God says unto them, I have already done this. It is a done deal. You are graven upon the palms of my hands. He also tells us in that verse that He is the one that did it. He said, I have graven thee. Nobody held God down and put those imprints upon His hands. That would be an impossibility. Nothing could be forced upon God, but it was His love for His people that moved Him, if you will, to this action. Of His own free will, He chose to love His people, not because they or we deserved it in any measure, but it was the good grace of God and the love of God that was extended to them and to you and I, even in this day and hour. He said, this is something that I did, I chose to do myself. And I'm thankful for that. And then he said, I have graven thee. It was not just their name that was graven upon his hands, but he said it was thee that is graven upon. This implies to me his omniscience. He knows and is concerned about the whole of us. And Charles Spurgeon said, I have graven thy person, thine image, thy case, thy circumstances, thy sins, thy temptations, thy weaknesses, thy wants, thy works. I have graven thee, everything about thee, all that concerns thee. I have put thee all together there. And I'll say whatever concerns you and whatever is touching you, He knows all about that. And it is before His eyes and upon His heart. And so it is not just their names, He says,
but it is thee that is there. And I'm convinced that God is concerned about every one of us and all of our situations and all of our circumstances, our doubts, our fears, whatever it is that we're facing in these days. God is faithful to you and I and concerned about that. I noticed this. He said, I'm graved upon the palm. Not upon the backs of our hands. And I got to thinking why. And you know, this is a little Jarvisology, if you don't mind me inserting that here. Why not on the backs? I see the backs of my hands. I look at them more than I look at the palms of my hands. But I got to thinking about it. And it was as if the Lord said, yeah, but you can't hold anything on the back of your hand. God said that you're graven upon my palm. That's what he is communicating to them. And so I got to thinking about that. John 10, 28 and 29 tells us that we are in the Lord's hands and in the Father's hands, and we are held tight there. We are gripped there. Just as he said, you are on the palms of my hands and graven there. We're safe forevermore there. And then, of course, the word is plural here. It's talking about both of them. Can I say tonight that I believe that the thought of this verse, the idea in view here, is that the Lord loves us and cares for us and never forgets His people. He's not forgot America. He's not forgot your problem. He's not forgot what you're going through. He knows exactly where you are. He knows why you feel. He knows the circumstances and the things that touch your heart. Would you turn with me along these lines then to 2 Thessalonians just for a moment? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I am trying to show you that God is faithful. He will not forsake us. He will not forget us. God is faithful to you and I. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse number 1, I hear pages turning. I'll wait on you just a minute. Paul writing to this Thessalonican church said, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men, he said, have not faith, but, he said, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now this is a request in verse 1 for prayer, and Paul is praying that the word of God may have free course and be glorified. He wanted the word to be spread freely and unhindered, and he wanted it to be received and honored even as these Thessalonians had received it and honored it. He wanted deliverance from unreasonable and wicked men in verse 2, and then the word but in verse 3 ties in the Lord is faithful with what has just been said. I believe what he's saying is in verse 2, all men have not faith. All men are not full of faith, or they are not faithful. You can't trust men because they are not faithful. But he said you can trust God because he is faithful. Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The Lord is faithful tonight. He will not let us down. And that is the message that I felt God would have us to begin with tonight, to try to emphasize this. He's not going to let us down. I don't believe he let us down yesterday. I believe he heard and answered the cry of his people, and he was faithful to you and I. And he's always been faithful. He'll be faithful in the days to come. And I got to thinking about this. God is faithful to his character. He is controlled by holiness. And Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Now the reason that he can be depended upon is that he's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now men, you can't depend on them because their ideas change, their opinion changes, their circumstances change. But God's character is always the same. He's not going to change, and he is faithful to his own character. There's nothing that's going to change. And so our God is faithful to that. He's also faithful to His Word. Because He doesn't change, His Word doesn't change. And if He settles it, that settles it. And Hebrews 10:23 says, He is faithful, that promise. So you can stake your soul on the Word of God. You can stake your soul on the promises of God. Whatever God says, you can count on it. He's going to be faithful to it. He's also faithful to His people. And our text in Isaiah bears this out. He promised He would never leave us nor forsake us in Hebrews 13:5. He promised His disciples, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God will not let you down. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He is saying in that passage that God is faithful to you and I. Are you convinced of that tonight? God is a faithful God. In all ways and in all circumstances. He's not only faithful in this passage, but He's able in this passage. The Bible says the Lord is faithful who shall establish you. If He will do it, if it's a promise that He's going to do it, that means He's able to do it. Who shall establish you. So not only is He faithful here, but He is able here, and the Lord is also willing here. Now, a lot of times we understand, we believe that God is able, but I think sometimes we doubt whether He's willing or not. But I believe according to this passage, this is a promise that God said that He is faithful, and not only that, but He's able and He is willing. Now I want to ask you a question tonight, and I feel now that we'll get down to the heart of what I believe God wants to challenge us with tonight. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe God is faithful? Now, most Christians, we just would go ask that question. We would just automatically say, yeah, I believe God's faithful. I don't think anybody in here probably would argue with me over that thought. Is God faithful? Is He faithful to His character? Is He faithful to His Word? Is He faithful to His people? Has He not shown us that over and over and over again? Now, can I back up just a second and tell you why God has begun working in my heart the last few days concerning this message? On Sunday, I've been preaching a series on the secret place. The Bible has a lot to say about God and a secret place. The Bible tells us that in the secret place, there is revelation there. God reveals Himself in the secret place. God reveals secrets in the secret place. Daniel and his friends, they went and got alone with God in a secret place, and God revealed secrets to them there. God will reveal the secret of His will to you and I in a secret place. There's not just revelation there, but there's refuge there. Psalm 27:5, for in time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 31:20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And so listen, I wonder tonight, how much time do we spend in that secret place? How much peace of mind, how much peace of heart do we forfeit because we fail to meet God in that secret place and find a place of refuge there? Even God's people, I'm afraid, are trying to find relief and release and rest in multiple things in this world. I believe a lot of God's people are even trying to find some peace of mind in pills and different things such as that. I believe that there is a rest And I'm not against medicine. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I believe that there is a rest that multitudes are missing out on because they're not running to that place of refuge, that finding God in that secret place and finding there that He is faithful. The Lord tells us to come unto Him and He will give us rest. And then there's reward there. You can find that in Matthew chapter 6. He that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then on Monday, that was on Sunday evening that I preached on that refuge in the secret place. And then on Monday night in the Bible Institute, I began to teach on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 on God's faithfulness there. And then on Tuesday morning, as I was doing my devotions, and I don't always preach out of my devotion, sometimes God speaks that way, but on Tuesday morning, I began to read a devotion out of the morning and evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon on this passage. You notice I've already quoted him one time, and I'll quote him again, Lord willing, in a few minutes. But as I began to read this, this is what God began to sink into my heart. And I'm not going to read all of it. I'll read it all later. But here's what he said. Oh, unbelief! How strange a marvel thou art. He said, we know not which most to wonder at, the faithfulness of God or the unbelief of His people. And God pierced my heart through like a sword with that passage. I stand in awe tonight at God's faithfulness to me. I stand in awe at God's faithfulness to our nation. When we are unfaithful, when we are undeserving, when we are unworthy, God is still faithful. I mean, God has done more than I feel that. I mean, I'm almost appalled. I am shocked. I am wondered at what God has done. I mean that from the depth of my heart tonight. And I've seen Him do that time and time and time and time again. And in the Old Testament, the children of Israel found a God to be their refuge time and time again. God was always faithful to be there for them, to provide for them, to do for them what they couldn't do for themselves. Even when they didn't deserve it and were unworthy of it, God was still faithful to them. Amen. Then why do we have so much trouble with our faithlessness? Why do we struggle so much with unbelief in our hearts? I'll preach to myself tonight. But I have an idea, having pastored over 21 years and being around God's people for a while, God's sheep for a while, I have an idea that those things which I go through are common among us. Those struggles, those fears, many times that unbelief and the doubt that creeps up in my heart and seems to make my problems bigger than my God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there anybody here like that tonight that faces those kinds of things? And yet God's faithful. As faithful as He has proven Himself to be, why do we fall into the position of the Israelites back in chapter 49? Turn with me back there if you're not already there. In Isaiah 49, in verse number 14, the Bible says, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. We have rejoiced tonight, I hope, in our hearts at least, and even today, over God's faithfulness, and we see His promises, and we know in our own lives, if you've been with God and been saved any length of time, you know as well as I do that God has been faithful to you. He's never let you down. As many times as you've let Him down, He's never let you down. We rejoice over His faithfulness. Can God deal with us concerning our faithlessness? If we magnify His faithfulness and worship Him and praise Him for that, should we not then mourn over the lack of faith that we have and trust that we have in Him? They said He's forsaken us. But they didn't stop there. They said not only has He forsaken us, but He's forgotten us. Not only has He left us to ourselves and left us alone, but we don't even cross His mind. That's a pretty low place to get. How many times is Satan in the midst of your trial? And the Bible tells us in this passage in Isaiah that they were in affliction. How many times in the midst of your affliction has the old devil crawled up on your shoulder and began to whisper in your ear, "Where's your God now? God has forsaken you, or you wouldn't be going through this. You wouldn't be facing this. You wouldn't be battling this. You wouldn't have lost that loved one. You wouldn't have to go through the things that you're going through. Where's your God now?" You feel in your heart, you know God's favor, but you begin to think, "God's forsaken me." But it is a step further down to get to the place where you feel God does not even think about you. Not only has He went somewhere else, but I don't even cross His mind anymore. That's the position. Is that not what it said? He's forgotten us. I'm glad sometimes God, and I believe He's done this in America, I believe God has said, "I'm still here. I believe God has given us a chance, a space of grace. I don't know what to call it. He's just saying, "I haven't forgot you. I haven't forsaken you." Have you ever been there? Have your afflictions come upon you and you thought to yourself, "God has forsaken me and God has forgotten me"? Have troubles ever struck fear in your heart? I get almost angry at myself sometimes. Can I just tell on myself? I get almost angry at myself sometimes as a pastor because it takes so little of a problem in the church to turn my world upside down. I guess unless you've ever been a pastor, it's hard for you to understand what little it takes to turn your world upside down. And when my family and Brother Finney's family, I'm sure, can tell you, Brother Taylor's family, I'm sure they can tell you, it doesn't take much to just disrupt your whole life. And I get almost angry at myself because it takes so little. And I feel so faithless. I've seen God do it time and time again. I mean, I've seen Him be faithful. He's never let me down before. And yet it takes so little to shake my world. I preached a message not too long ago out of Acts where Paul said, "None of these things move me." I got to thinking about the smallness of being moved. I don't have a cup of water up here, but if I did, I'd show you an illustration. I got to thinking about the smallness of that being moved. When we think about being moved, we think about being turned aside. If we think about moving that piano, we think about picking it up and carrying it across over there. But if I had a glass of water up here and I set it over on that piano and I stomped the floor, you'd see that glass of water move. You'd see it move. Which means that that piano moved. If that piano didn't move, that glass of water wouldn't move. And I'm talking about the smallness of that movement. He said, none of these things move me. Not just they don't turn me aside. Not just they don't cause me to go another direction. He's saying they don't trouble me at all. They don't cause me to quiver. They don't cause me to shake or to move in the least. But what does it take to move us in these days? You understand what I'm saying? I admit it, when I preached that message on when September 11th, was it 2001? I can't ever remember the year. Forgive me, my brain's about gone. When that happened that day, that moved me. But I feel as though that, and I believe the Apostle Paul was there. I believe that there is a place that we can get to where we find a refuge with God and a trust in God, a faith in God, to where if the whole world was falling apart around us, we wouldn't even be moved by it. But I'm not there yet. I'm talking about a place of peace and refuge and rest because we trust a God who is faithful. Are you listening to me? Because we trust a God that's willing and able. I desire to be there. I believe that's the goal for God's people to find that place of faith and trust and refuge, if you will. In that, and I believe it comes through that secret place and through the study of the Scriptures and the faith that it brings. Five times in the New Testament, Jesus tells us to take no thought. I want to ask you something. If we do take thought, is it not a sin against God? If He says take no thought and we take thought, is there not a problem there? Do you know that the Lord rebuked His disciples more for a lack of faith than anything else? He rebukes them concerning provisions in Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Haven't I been faithful? He's saying to us. He rebukes concerning the fear of the storm, Matthew 8:26, and He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? In essence saying, have I not been faithful? Peter sinking in Matthew 14:31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Feeding the multitude, Matthew 16:8, which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have bought no bread, or brought no bread? When they couldn't cast out the devil, Matthew 17:17, Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Thomas doubting. John 20:27, then said He to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I think that we have often not found a refuge in God because of our unbelief. I believe the Israelites were robbed of peace in this passage and strength even in the midst of their affliction because they had forgotten or they failed to believe that God is faithful. Faith can do mighty things. You know Hebrews 11 probably better than I do. Tremendous things. I'm not going to get into those things. We know that unbelief hinders the work of God. He said, even without faith, it is impossible to please Him. There was a passage that says that He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. What have we forfeited in this day because of our unbelief, because of our faithlessness, in spite of His faithfulness? What peace, what great work. I am convinced, and I believe it is biblical to say, that if we're going to do a work for God in these days, if we're going to see God do something with the First Baptist Church of Conestee, with Welcome Baptist Church of Union, or wherever else, if we're going to do a work for the glory of God, it must be done by faith. I want to read to you the rest of Spurgeon's quote. O unbelief, how strange a marvel thou art. We know not which most to wonder at, the faithfulness of God or the unbelief of His people. He keeps His promise 1,000 times, and yet the next trial makes us doubt Him. He never faileth. He is never a dry well. He is never a setting sun, a passing meteor, or a melting vapor. And yet we are as continually vexed with anxieties, molested with suspicions, and disturbed with fears as if our God were the mirage of the desert. As we have magnified the faithfulness of God, I pray God would help us to mourn over our faithlessness and a faithful God.
Us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.